Morning, everyone. I wonder, what is the best gift you've ever received? There are a few things that make good gifts. No pressure if you've still got to do your shopping, but here are a few things I think that make good gifts. A good gift demonstrates the giver's generosity. A good gift shows that the giver has really thought about you as a person and what you might need. But also, a really good gift, it goes beyond just what do you need, and actually it sparks real joy for you, making your life more enjoyable as a result of receiving it. Those are three things, I think, that make a good gift. Well, this morning we're going to be reminded that our God is the most generous, thoughtful, and joy-sparking gift giver that there has ever been. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, well, I hope you're going to be reminded of all that is now yours because of God and his generosity. If you're not yet a Christian, well, I hope this morning is going to be like that experience of flicking through an amazing gift catalogue as you see what God would love to give you if you'll turn back to him. And so let me pray for us, and then we'll have a little think about this passage. Now, Father, we thank you that you are a wonderfully kind, generous gift giver. Thank you, you have showered grace on us. And so we ask for your help this morning to understand anew, in a fresh way, these wonderful gifts that you give to us that we remember at Christmas time in particular. Amen. We're going to spend most of our time in verses 4 to 6 of chapter 4, where we find two amazing gifts that God has given to us. But first, just a little bit of context within which these verses come. We had the slightly longer passage read. The backdrop to this gift-giving that we find in verses 4 to 6 is one of struggle and frustration. And so this is not the image that we're to have in mind. Because let's be honest, the people who live in that house, they probably have got more than enough already, haven't they? Those gifts under that tree waiting for them, they're just going to add to all of the riches that they already possess. They're not going to change their life very much as they open those gifts. This is a better image. We're going to hear about gifts that come to us amidst chaos and struggle. Gifts that arrive when we're at our wit's end, and so actually have the potential to mean everything to us, to transform our life and our experience. That's the image for the situation we're in as God sends us these gifts. Our passage is spoke of God's people in the Old Testament being slaves, custody, imprisoned under the law. Having knowledge of God and how he's called them to live, and yet no ability to actually live that way. Now, you see, the law in itself was a good thing. It came from God. It set out how to live in a God-pleasing way, but in the lives of the people, it simply served to show how far short they fell. Now, the law highlighted their disobedience and their sinfulness and their failure to be holy as God is holy. And so it left them under a cloud of judgment with a future that was full of curses rather than blessings. That is the backdrop, the context of this gift giving. And let's be clear, that backdrop is an accurate picture of our lives and our futures without God and his gracious gifts to us. We're all by nature sinners, left condemned by our failure to live according to God's law, and so facing his judgment. And yet all the way through this passage, indeed all the way through the history of God's dealings with his people in the Old Testament, there was this wonderful promise that people could cling to. He promised that a time was coming when everything would change as he gave a gift to his people. And so just as that Christmas tree stands amidst the devastation, so God's promise stood for centuries after centuries after centuries as a beacon of hope amidst the chaos. And then verse 4 of chapter 4 tells us that one particular day, 2,000 or so years ago, the set time finally arrived. And God came good on his promise by sending an amazing gift. Let me just read verse 4 again. But when the set time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. We can summarize. God sent his son into the world so that we might be his children. Notice how God sent us exactly what we needed. He sent his son, the second person of the Trinity, fully God. As we say in the Nicene Creed, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. That's who Jesus is. God's gift to us was no less than himself in the person of the eternal Son. Because only God could deal with the scale of the mess that we found ourselves in. Humans had tried to deal with it, some really impressive humans, judges and kings and prophets, but all had failed. Our Saviour had to be God himself. And yet Jesus was also born of a woman. He had to be a human because this was a human mess. It was mankind who was under judgment. And so it had to be a man who dealt with it. Justice demanded that. No one else could deal with it. And do you see what a perfectly thought out gift this is from God? His son became as much a human as any of us without abandoning any of his godness. One person, two natures, fully God and fully human. And that made him uniquely qualified to deal with our sin and our condemnation. In the words of this passage, he alone was perfectly qualified to redeem us. As a human, Jesus submitted himself to all the requirements of the law. The very law that had left us imprisoned and condemned, and yet he came and he became the very first human ever to keep it perfectly. He truly was holy as God is holy. And then most remarkably of all, despite his unique, perfect life, Jesus submitted himself to the ultimate curse of the law. The one man who didn't deserve it allowed himself to be hung on a tree, facing death in our place, the curse of death. So do you see, God gave the most amazing gift, his son, fully God, fully man, and so perfectly qualified to redeem us. He has done what looked impossible, setting us free from our slavery to sin. The punishment of death that hung over us has gone because he's paid it off in full. What a gift. And yet there's even more to this first gift. Because God's intention was not just that we would be set free and so wander off and make what we could of our lives. Actually, that would be a return to slavery if that was all that happened. Now, God redeemed us in Jesus so that we might receive adoption to sonship. Do you see, a gospel that says Jesus died to forgive us our sins, that's true, but it's only half the story. Jesus died to forgive us our sins and therefore welcome us into God's family as dearly beloved children. That's the gospel. In his classic book, Knowing God, J.I. Packer writes the following. He says, were I asked to focus the New Testament message in three words, my proposal would be adoption through propitiation. A propitiation being a word similar to redemption. Adoption through propitiation. And I do not expect ever to meet a richer or more pregnant summary of the gospel than that? Do you see, not just the removal of the negative, the redemption, but the bestowal of the positive. We're not just forgiven sinners, but adopted children. Now picture for a moment a child who's adopted into a family. It's impossible to underplay, isn't it, how significant a moment that is for their identity, for their well-being, for their future. Adoption is so precious. And now, unlike when adoption happens in this world, we were culpable for the situation we found ourselves in. You know, our sin had got us there. And yet God willingly, joyfully, sent his son that we might be adopted into his family and share in Jesus' inheritance. What a gift. It's a cliche, but it's true, so I'm going to say it anyway. This is clearly the best gift ever given. And so let me ask, have you unwrapped it yet? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus and all that he's done for you? Now, if so, are you still excited by it, however many years on from when you were first adopted into God's family? If you're not yet trusting him, well, what's stopping you from benefiting from all of this? Now, what lie are you believing that says your needs can be met better somewhere else, in something else, in someone else? Nothing in the whole world can compare to the redemption and the adoption that we're offered in Jesus. But you know what? That's still not the end of the gift giving. Now, who's the person in your family who always seems to have presents left under the tree when everyone else has finished? I can guarantee he'll be in our family this year. He'll be the littlest one. Well, for Christians, we all get to be that person here. Because in verse 6, we discover another gift sent from God to all of those who are trusting Jesus. Let me read it for us. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. We can summarize. God sent the Spirit into our hearts so that we might know what it feels like to be his children. I guess it would be possible to legally adopt someone and yet remain distant from them. But that's not the case with God, is it? It's not that he kind of wants to provide for our basic needs, but doesn't want to thoroughly embrace us. Now, he brought us into his family that we might enjoy all the benefits of relationship with him. He wants us to experience what it means to be his children day by day. And so he sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts. That's the very opposite of distant parenting, isn't it? A very real presence with us, helping us, guiding us, comforting us, changing us. And notice how the Spirit is working towards the same goal as Jesus. In fact, the link between the Son and the Spirit is so tight that he's called the Spirit of the Son. Jesus won us the status of children, and the Spirit helps us to live that out and to really feel like, yes, I am a child of God. Both gracious gifts from God the Father as part of his amazing salvation plan. So this is a gift that helps us enjoy our relationship with our Heavenly Father and also then a source of great assurance. Because it's not always easy, is it, to remember or really feel like we're beloved children of God. Whether that's because of our sin or because of our suffering or just due to our human limitations, which only allow us to see dimly now. Sometimes we find ourselves doubting so much of what we've just been rejoicing in. Well, look at what we're specifically told the Spirit does in our hearts. The Spirit calls out, or even more accurately, cries out, Abba, Father. Now, who else cried out, Abba, Father? Jesus. Where did Jesus do that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, in a moment of great suffering and temptation, as his heart was deeply troubled by what stood before him, Jesus, full of the Spirit, still had this deep conviction that his Father would hear him and would help him. And so he cried out to him, Abba, Father. Well, isn't that wonderfully our experience as well? You know, when life's going well, we're sometimes a bit complacent about our Father's presence with us. But in those moments of anguish or fear or desperation, well, doesn't that same cry come from our hearts? Father, help me. And not just the cry of someone who's kind of hoping there's a higher power out there, because even atheists do that, don't they, in times of distress. If you're out there, help me. But the cry of someone who knows deep down that they're a dearly beloved child of God, and that despite all that's going on, he will not abandon them. And so we cry out with a deeply personal form of address, Father, help me. Have you experienced that deep conviction of God's presence with you amidst trials? Well, that experience reassures us we truly are God's children. We'd only respond that way if the Spirit of Jesus was dwelling in us. So do you see, all these gifts are actually part of the same package. One amazing big gift. Our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has given us something of immeasurable value. Something that's generous, thoughtful, meets our exact needs, and is intended to spark all kinds of joy for us in our life now. No less than a real living relationship with him as redeemed, adopted children of God. What a gift. Let's give thanks to him for that now. Verse 7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you're his child, God has made you also an heir. Our Father, we thank you so much for your amazing generosity to us. We thank you that you gave us this greatest gift ever, that you have redeemed us through Jesus, that you've adopted us into your family, that you embrace us as your children. Father, help us to delight in that this Christmas time. Amen.